So we have come to the we're coming to the subject of the Christian life, living the Christian life in a biblical way. And so today's sermon is entitled Followers of Christ, but it could be entitled Disciples of Christ. Disciples of Christ. And whenever one preaches on the Christian life, if one is doing a proper job of it, it's never particularly easy to listen to. And that's because living the Christian life in the way that the Bible says that we are to live always means putting to death ourselves, our wills, our wants, and yielding to Christ, yielding to the work of the Spirit in our lives. And that's not something that we wake up in the morning wanting to do. It's not easy work living the Christian life. I've spoken to many atheists in my life, and some of them say, you know, the old saw, which is that, well, Christianity is just a crutch for you because you can't get on with your life. And my response is, you've no idea what you're talking about. My life, as far as, you know, just getting on with life, was easier before I was a Christian. Because as a Christian, I have principles and ethics, and I have some goals and so on in my life that take effort. And I'm constantly struggling against my flesh and my sin nature. And it's hard work. Of course, Paul, as we will see, he speaks about it as a war. He calls us soldiers. He says we don't get entangled with the normal things of life because we are called to warfare. That doesn't sound like a crutch to me. To be a follower of Christ is a serious thing. Because Jesus Christ is the man par excellence. Jesus Christ is the perfect man. His words are perfect wisdom. All of his doings and sayings, his attitudes, his motives are all pure. All of them under the scrutiny of God his Father, and all of them accepted by God his Father. And he is our example. So here we are, imperfect human beings, and our example is perfect. But that shouldn't dismay us. This shouldn't cast us down. We know we're never going to be exactly like him in this life. But still, he is the example that we should reach for, both in word and deed, and also in thought. Jesus is the Lord. We are his disciples, or we are supposed to be his disciples. I'll put it that way, because many Christians are not. They are not disciples. You say, well, why would you say something like that? Why don't you just say something that's easy to listen to? Why don't you say something that's encouraging? Well, I am going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you to do better. As I try to encourage myself to do better. The word disciple in the New Testament is the Greek word methetes, and that's the only Greek I'm going to throw at you. I don't like, messing with the ingredients outside of the kitchen. That's not, some people use the Greek, they throw the Greek out to make themselves look clever. I don't try to do that. But the Greek word is methetes, and it has a specific meaning. The meaning is learner. Learner. That's the main meaning of the term. From that, you get the idea of following. Okay? So you can say that a disciple of Jesus Christ is a learner of the life and works and word of Jesus Christ, and that would include the whole New Testament, and of course, much of the Old Testament. And he's also a follower of what he learns. Of what he learns. Not a follower in the way that he wants to be or she wants to be, but a follower that God recognizes. I was talking to a brother the other day. I hadn't met him for many, many years. And we met up at Hearthstone the other day, and it was very, very nice to see him. And we were talking about the state of the church, of the evangelical church, and the evangelical church is in a mess. It's in a mess. So many of our evangelical leaders are untrustworthy, will not take a stand for what's right. So many of them, when George Floyd was, he wasn't killed actually, he died from a fentanyl overdose. And the, I can't breathe stuff is because of fentanyl, not because of the way he was restrained, which is a general standard police practice, by the way. Okay? But they all, in a chorus, had to join in with the woke mob. They all had to agree that this was an outrageous thing that was done and was unjust, and poor George Floyd and all the rest of it. But when Charlie Kirk was murdered, where were these evangelical leaders? Where were these people? Didn't say a thing. Their brother in Christ, one who actively gave the gospel in all of his presentations, actively doing the warfare on college campuses. Perfectly? No. He was an imperfect human being, but he was doing it. And they don't have a word for him. They don't have anything to say. Wimps. Evangelical wimps. Not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, if they were learning from Christ, if they were following Christ, Jesus was somebody who would stand up and say something about good and about evil. So many of our churches today are just concerned with entertainment. Worshiptainment, people say it. Why do people go to church? Well, they will tell you that they go to church for the word of God, because that's what you're supposed to say. But do they go to church really to hear the word of God? Or are they consumers? Do they go to church because of the music or the programs? Look, I've got news for you. music and programs are not necessarily bad things. They can be good things. Although I believe a lot of the music, the way the music is done in a lot of evangelical churches today, is not worshipful. It appeals to the flesh. It appeals to the flesh. Be honest, it does. Some of it is worshipful, and I'm not talking here about the difference between old hymns and contemporary Christian music. Because some of the old hymns I don't like. I don't think they're very good. And some of the contemporary stuff is good. Although there's a lot of slop. There's a lot of nonsense. But our evangelical Christianity has been derailed over the last, well, half century, really. And Christians have become consumers. Christians have become people that pick and choose, and their choices are not based on whether the word of God is preached faithfully. Their choices are on other issues. And as far as the New Testament is concerned, when we get to the doctrine of the church, you will see, and I will show you, that the main job of a Christian church is to preach and teach the word of God. Main God, that's the main thing. And then to provide an atmosphere of fellowship and service. So I've asked in this introduction, although the introduction bleeds into the first point, what is a disciple? What is discipleship? And I've said that the word means a learner. And unfortunately, there are not many learners in the evangelical church today. People don't want to go into depth in the Word of God. They want a surface kind of a sermon. They want a surface kind of a Bible study. They want a how-to. They want affirmation. Am I edifying you yet? Are you feeling good? Yes. Yeah. Okay, I've got one fan. They want to feel good. But following Jesus is not about feeling good. Is that a revelation to you? The man of sorrows acquainted with grief, that's the one you're supposed to be following. Do you think you're always going to have a smile on your face? Do you think you're always going to be affirmed? Have you read the New Testament recently? Paul is constantly admonishing the Christians to do better. To walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Now in our passage here, we finally get to it, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a lot in that, but I hope that you can see from it that the only way that you can become a follower of the Apostle Paul and a follower of the Lord is if you receive the word. And he says in 2 Thessalonians, you receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God. How's your Bible reading? In fact, let's get a little bit more under the skin. How many times have you read the Bible? Yeah, I used to be a seminary professor. I would talk to these students. They're getting master's degrees. And I asked them, how many times have you read the Bible? I don't care about your master's degree. How many times have you read the Bible? You're going to go into the ministry and you've read the Bible 2 or 3 times? You think that a master's degree is okay? That's the thing that God wants? When you die, the gates of heaven are going to fling open for you and you can just float in there with your master's degree and everybody will go, wow. Oh. what about the old lady in the congregation who's read through her Bible constantly? Maybe read it 10 times or more. God, I think, is a bit more impressed with her. How many times have you read the Bible? You say, I don't want to answer you. I understand. I'm not asking for, you know, a declaration here. But have you received the word constantly? I'm not talking about once. I'm not talking about every Sunday. Have you received the word? You know, in 2002, I'm going off my script here, but that's fine. We'll end up in the same place at the same time, okay? In 2002, we left Napa. We'd planted a church there. And we went, headed for Texas. And of course, heading for Texas, the Bible Belt. There'll be so many great churches to choose from. We couldn't find a decent church. We couldn't find a church that had decent Bible teaching, I mean in-depth Bible teaching, that wasn't really focused around making people feel good. Focused around, you know, all of the things to make people, to bring people in. Just like, you know, they had gone straight to the Bible to figure out how to start a church. You know, they had, like I said, all of the things, the coffee machines and the nice seats and the lights, everything for to make people feel good. And the word that was preached, if I can say preach, because the word preach means to proclaim, to herald, not much heralding going on, a lot of making people feel comfortable. We couldn't find a church. We found, I mean, well, eventually we did. But it was hard to find a church in the Bible Belt. It's hard to find a church anywhere nowadays that actually teaches the Word of God. That's the way that it is. You know, we had somebody, a sister in Christ who was a great blessing to this church, who moved to Arizona last year. Couldn't find a church. Kept writing to me. We can't find a church. Finally, they found a church, but why couldn't they find a church? Why couldn't we find a church? Why is so many people move from one place to another and then they have difficulty finding a decent Bible teaching church? Why? Because the churches have left off the idea of discipleship. Oh, they have discipleship programs. They call it discipleship. But it just has nothing to do with the Word of God. It has nothing to do with learning the Word. Nothing to do with examining yourself through the Word. Nothing to do with growing in the Word. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a learner of Christ, you have to be in the Word and you have to let the Word do its work in your life. You have to let the Word of God arrange the furniture in your mind. And so that's the first thing. They receive the Word of God. What is it to receive the Word of God? It's simply this, to hold it in reverence as the Word of God. And since it is the Word of God to you, and God wants you to know it and to read it, you take it seriously. You understand it is the authority. And you judge things by it. And if what's going on does not match up with what you're reading in Scripture, you take Scripture's side every time. then you're a disciple. That's easy, isn't it? Do you have to have a great discipleship program? Do you have to, you know, go through these little booklets and so on in order to be a disciple of God? No, just get in the Word of God, will you? Get in the Word of God. Receive it. You say, well, sometimes, you know, it says things I don't like. Receive it. Let the truth hurt you. Let the truth do its work in you. It'll do you good. Now, in 1 John, John's not the kind of person to mince his words. And in this passage in 1 John chapter 2, he sets out more of what it means to be a follower of Christ. It's a small section. It's just what I've chosen is verses 3 through 6. But there's a lot in here. He says this: now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. Okay, is this saying, oh, you've got to keep the Ten Commandments? You've got to keep, well, I mean, you ought to keep the Ten Commandments apart from the Sabbath day, yes? Which we don't keep because that's a Saturday. Sabbath is a sign for the Jews according to Ezekiel 20. What about the other ones? Is there any of those that you shouldn't keep as a Christian? No. So you should keep those. And you should make that the moral core of your life. Okay? Never have another God. Never have an image. And you can have all kinds of materialistic images that you worship and that you go after and you work for in the place of God. Never do that. Never take the Lord's name in vain. OMG. I hear Christians saying that all the time. What's wrong with you? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Everybody else says it. Yeah, well, you're not supposed to be like everybody else. You're supposed to be a follower of Christ, aren't you? Honoring your father and mother. Even if they're unsaved. Even if maybe they didn't do the best job in rearing you, bringing you up. Do you honor them still? As you're commanded to? That's right. It's proper to do that. You don't have to agree with everything they do. You could strongly disagree. But do you honor them? And then you have all of the rest of it. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. Oh my. Can we just take that one out? You know, just for the West? Because we have this tendency to covet, don't we? So we keep his commandments. And John says here, he who says, I know him, I know God. God is my Father. Christ is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is within me. And that yet you're not living a godly life. You're pretty worldly in your values and your priorities, in the things that you take time over, and the things that you're concerned about. You're really pretty worldly. And you basically arrange things in your life to match that worldliness so your conscience doesn't prick you. Maybe the church that you choose to go to, that does that because they don't really preach about sin very much. They don't really tell you off very much. And it's not me that's telling you off, of course. It's the Word of God that's telling me off as much as you. But he who says, I know him, does not keep his commandments, is a liar, straight out. You might be a Christian, but you're a liar. And the truth is not in him. Now, in the first chapter, John has already set out that if we say that we have no sin, you know, we're liars, and we make him a liar too. We make God a liar. Of course we have sin. Christians struggle with sin. But the truth is given to us so that we'll recognize that sin, so that we'll own that sin, and we'll repent from it. And if we won't repent from our sin, we won't repent from our worldliness, then the truth is not in us. Can you see that? Because the truth is not being allowed in. The truth's not being allowed to influence our thoughts and our priorities and our comforts. But whoever keeps his word, whoever keeps his word, this describes a person who is not perfect, who does sin and have to repent, who is aware that they are not what they ought to be as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, but they are also determined to stay on the path. And when they get off the path, they want to repent and get back on the path. That's their goal. That's what they want to do. They want to be free of sin. They hate their worldliness. They hate their sin. And so they're always coming back to the Word of God so that it can correct them, so that it can admonish them, so that it can guide them. Whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is perfected in him. John uses these terms like perfected and so on. We can think, well, you know, the love of God is not perfected in a human being in this life. But what John means by this is he's talking about that you're maturing, okay? The love of God is working in you, all right? Because you're allowing the word of God to work in you. You're allowing the love of God to work in you. And the love of God can be, it can be tough love. By this we know that we are in him. How do you know? Are you keeping his word? Are you concerned about keeping his word? This book, the Bible, is authored by the Holy Spirit of God. And to the Thessalonians, Paul said that you received this word with much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Spirit. And what this means is that whatever is going on in our lives, and maybe it's not persecution, but maybe it's something else, but whatever it is that we're going through in our lives, if we are keeping the word of God, if we are washing our minds with the word of God, and we are clinging to these passages, these verses, which tell us that God has not forsaken us, that tell us that we are not to lean on our own understanding, that tell us that we are to yield to him and his will, that we're to be like Jesus, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, to have that kind of attitude. Well then, we'll know something of the joy of the Holy Spirit, even in our difficult circumstances. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And what John means is simply this. Jesus had one objective, to do the Father's will. Obsessed with it, he was. I want to do the Father's will. All right, what about me? What about you? Do you want to do God's will? Do you want to know God's word? How do you want to know it? Do you want to know it with all of its rough edges smoothed off, so that what you get is a kind of a sermonette that just makes you feel good every day? Do you, that's what we want. I understand that. But is that good for you? Is that what you need? Is that what you need to receive? I remind you that the disciples sometimes had to hear some really rough words from their master. Get thee behind me, Satan, for you do not savor the things that be of God. How about that one for an edifying passage? What about if that was aimed at you? That came from the Lord Jesus himself. That was part of his discipleship. What about his words to the two brothers, the Boanerges? You do not know what spirit you are of. The implication being it's certainly not the Holy Spirit. We need admonishing. We need telling off. We need our sins pointed out. Do you struggle with remnants of inner sin? Sorry, I'm messing my sentences. Do you struggle with sin in your life, in your thoughts, in your actions? I'll answer it for you. Yes, you do. And so my job as a fellow sinner, saved by grace, is to go to the passages of scripture that address those things and to bring them to your attention. And then your job is to respond in the way God wants you to respond to it. To examine yourself. To ask about your motives. To spend more than 1 second asking, you know, is that me? Am I worldly? Do I really, you know, do I just do things or arrange things in my life to make myself comfortable? And that's the primary thing that motivates my life. Or am I in the Word of God enough so that the Word of God permeates my thinking and whatever I do with my life is, as far as I know, as far as my lights are concerned, is what I believe God wants me to do. John says here, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. Because, you know, God's love comes to you through the medium of the Word of God, as does everything else. I've warned you before, and I'm going to do it again. Don't confuse your feelings with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks through the Word. Yes, he works with the Word in your life in a personal way. But if you're disobeying the Word of God, or if you're not interested in growing in the Word of God, and you're feeling good, don't think that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to work in accordance with his own word, not work at variance with it. The last thing that I need, if I'm going to be walking in the Spirit, is to be cosseted by the church, to be patted on the back, to be told that I'm okay, that God affirms me. God affirms me because of Christ, not because of me. God affirms me because of the grace that has been proffered to me, not because of my righteousness, which is as filthy rags. God approves of me when I listen to what he says and try to learn it and try to abide by it. And when I do that, Praise God. You know, my thoughts start to be disentangled. I start to gain a bit of wisdom. I start to gain a bit of insight for the way forward. Things that perhaps were important to me maybe are not so important to me now, because really they were worldly things in the first place. And now what really matters is brought into the light because I'm receiving the word of God and I'm keeping the word of God. I'm trying to keep it. And when I don't keep it, I simply repent and I come to the cross again, and God puts me straight again and forgives me and puts me back on the path. So verse 6 says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And do we walk as he walked? He was not looking around and seeing all the fanciful things that were going on in the Roman world. Did you recall that one day his disciples and the Lord were on the Mount of Olives and they were looking over at the temple? And the disciples were all getting carried away with the temple, you know, and so on. And Jesus didn't seem to be bothered about it at all. He says, every stone there is going to be upturned. And then started to talk about the doom that was going to come on Israel. And then finally his second coming in Matthew 24, Mark 13. Jesus wasn't concerned with the stones of the temple, other than the fact that they were going to be all bashed in and overthrown by the Romans. He wasn't diverted by the great accomplishments of men. He wasn't concerned about those things. He was concerned with God and what God wants and what God values. And that's where we should be if we really want to be followers of Christ. We've got to have that kind of a mindset. And I'm not saying that, you know, of course, that we all go together and have a church on the hill and start a commune and all of that stuff. Of course not. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what his disciples did. That's not what the early church did. But we have to have different priorities if we're really learners of Christ and his word. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Let's turn that around. If you're not walking as he walked, if you're not trying to walk in the spirit, if you're not trying to take the Christian life seriously and what God wants from you seriously, then you're not really abiding in Christ. You say, are you saying I'm not a Christian? No, I'm not. And John's not. But you're not a disciple. You're not a disciple. You see, to be a Christian is not the same thing. It's not synonymous with being a disciple and a follower of Christ. There are a lot of Christians who are sitting on the bleachers. There are a lot of Christians who are serving, not because they serve the Lord and his word, but they're serving because they're the kind of people that like to serve. And the church is a place that allows them to do that. But they're not concerned with the word of God. They're not concerned with personal holiness. They're not concerned with taking Christian life seriously. You say, can you give me examples of that? Go on to Alyssa Childers' podcast. She's a great one. She's doing great work in showing people the disease that's in the evangelical church. We have a book out there. Go to a number of these people who are trying to awaken the children of God to see that they have been had the wool pulled over their eyes. That really, the idea that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life is a devilish idea. Now, God loves you, of course, more than you can possibly know, actually. But the wonderful plan for your life might include persecution. It might include disease and cancer. It might include isolation from your family. It might include all kinds of things that are not very pleasant. And you may be very well in the will of God going through those things. And God may very well be really close to you, even though you don't feel his presence in those times. But I tell you what, if you are going through those things and you are following the word and you are trusting in the word and not leaning on your own understanding, if you're acknowledging him in all things, if you are receiving the word and keeping in the word and trying to walk in the word, God is pleased with you and he sees you as his follower. And you will be rewarded. John talks about rewards in 2 John. Paul talks about rewards in several places in his epistles. Jesus talks about rewards. It is a biblical doctrine. But let me tie it together for you. If you are a follower, if you're a disciple of Christ, and if you are trying to follow Christ, and you fall because you sin, but you get back up again, you confess your sins, and you follow the word of God and you trust the word of God to regulate your life. By the time you get, maybe stumble over the finish line of this life, God will reward you because God has seen every decision that you've made for him. Every time that you have yielded your preferences to what God says. Every time you have thought, is this a carnal desire or is this a spiritual desire? Was I in the flesh when I said that, when I did that, when I chose that? Or was I thinking God's thoughts after him when I did that? And every time you've chose for God, God noted that. And every time you cried because of the consequences of that choice to follow Christ, God noted that. And every time you suffered unfairly because of your Christian witness and because of your choice to follow Christ, God noted that. And you'll be rewarded. Don't be the kind of Christian who is not a disciple. It's disciples that get rewarded. It's followers. It's learners. Not the ones watching, not the ones being entertained, but the ones in the battle. Do I have a word of encouragement for you this morning? Everything I have said to you this morning, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, was a word of encouragement to you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to see that to follow Christ is to be hated in this world, to be unfairly judged, to go down the narrow path, to enter in at the straight gate, to have Satan's eye on us, to be in the battle. And in order to do that, Father, we need the Word of God. We need to be learning constantly. We need to be yielding, Lord, dying to self, so that we can live to Christ and allow Christ's life to live through us. And the Word to advise us. Father, that's what we need to be doing. There's much else that we need to investigate when it comes to the Christian life and walking in the Spirit, and we'll do that in this series. But Father, this is the thing that will make or break us in the Christian life. Discipleship is difficult business. It's one where we have to roll up our sleeves and join in. So help us, Father, to read the word, to yield to the word. And may your Spirit have his will and way in my life and, Lord, in the lives of all of us here. For Jesus' sake, amen.